Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and I was a little concerned that my co-host wasn't going to make it back from Trevor Lawrence's pro day in time to do the podcast today, but luckily for us, he's here.
Start spreading the news.
Well, Stu, how you doing? Schomburg Stu, of course. That's what the music means. Stu, how are you?
I'm doing okay, but don't ask me any football predictions for this Sunday.
Oh, yeah, we were pretty bad. If you'd like to call into the podcast, though, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays. So look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. That'll take you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, still no Schomburg Stu on Twitter, but I am out there at Burke Time. Feel free to reach out to me, and I will pass any information you have for Stu along. So, there we go. But, all right, well, you know, like you mentioned, our football predictions were less than stellar, but there is some, you know, interesting football news going on, and right in the middle, again, we get to start with the Houston Texans. You know, they have the ongoing saga with Deshaun Watson, and I want to get to that in a minute. But today, the Texans announced that they are releasing, you know, I'm guessing, or I would say probably their best player in franchise history, and that's defensive end J.J. Watt. Now, from all the reports I've heard, Watt actually went to them and asked to be released, and the Texans have granted his request, so he is now a free agent. I guess kind of two things here, Stu. What the hell is going on with the Texans, and, you know, where does J.J. Watt land with this?
Probably Pittsburgh. Wouldn't you think that would be a logical choice? Although I did hear the Bears being in the mix, because I think his wife is from the Chicago area, and Watts loves Portillo's. Well, that's an inducement to sign with the Bears, right?
Well, I love Portillo's too, so I can understand that.
But, I suspect he'll go to Pittsburgh, who has a history of having a great defense, and that would be my educated guess. But what are your thoughts on the subject?
Yeah, well, I figure, you know, like if his wife is from here, that's always a possibility that he would sign here. Don't forget, he went to the University of Wisconsin. He's from Wisconsin.
That's true.
So
yeah,
you can put the Packers in the mix. And, yeah, right now the biggest rumor I heard has been the Steelers, because I'm sure pretty much everybody knows this now, but his brother plays there. So I'm sure he would like the opportunity to, you know, to play with his brother during their career.
That would be good. Certainly that would be good. Do you think he'll make a decision quickly? You think it'll be within the next week or two?
You know, with the way things go in sports nowadays, I doubt it, just because everybody seems to enjoy this drama. And, you know, I guess what I'm more, I don't know, concerned, interested, however you want to look at it, is, you know, we're looking at a player that, you know, he did play all 16 games this season, but that was only the second time in the past 5 years that he's managed to play in every game. You know, he'll be 32. He only posted 5 sacks. So I'm wondering, you know, now this is a guy who's had a couple years of over 20 and another year with 17 and a half. I kind of wonder if maybe we're seeing some diminishment in his skills. You
well,
think
I wouldn't
that's
be
something
surprised.
That people
he's got a lot of wear and tear in the body after being in the NFL so long. You would have to think that in that punishing position that he plays, that there would certainly be some wear and tear in the body, and I don't think he'll be the player he was, but I'm sure he can still do a good job for a team.
So, yeah, you know, because I wonder, you know, what he rates his value as, because I don't know if teams are going to see it as being that high, because it may be a guy we're looking at as, you know, obviously he'll be in on every passing down. But I'm not sure if you can have him out there every, you know, all three downs or all four downs or a whole drive for an offense anymore. You know, he has played 10 years in the NFL, so he's had a long career. I kind of wonder what kind of money's going to be out there and what a team is willing to spend.
Well, I'm sure he'll get a nice buck, but I don't think he's going to get what he's thinking about in terms of salary. I think he's going to have to reduce his expectations a little bit. And if he does sign with another team, does Houston get any kind of compensation?
No, because he was just released. So,
yeah, which is kind of a surprising decision on their part. I know there was animosity there, and but why would they do that and not even get anything in return?
You know, I wonder at this point how much, if anything, they could have gotten in return. And let me see if I can grab his contract details here. Yeah, he was due to make $17.5 million. That would have been the last year of his contract. You know, that's a big number for, you know, a guy who's coming off, while again a healthy year, not a hugely productive one. So I you know, I mean, is it really worth going through the trouble of getting a seventh round draft pick and then, you know, dealing with the salary cap issues, where now I don't believe he counts against the salary cap because he was released.
Now, he was guaranteed that 17.5 that he remained with Houston, correct?
Let's see. Does it say? No, it does not look like there's a guarantee here, being that it's an NFL contract. It's possible, but it's not listed here.
So they could have just released him without any kind of compensation, even though he had a year remaining?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how the NFL contracts are structured, unlike other sports. You know, their contracts are, you know, in some cases they're guaranteed. Other players, they're just not. And I don't, you know, again, it could be, but I don't see it here that this would have been a guaranteed year for him.
Well, I'm sure that he's financially secure. And so maybe he can reduce his salary demands and sign and play for a team he would enjoy playing for. As you mentioned, he is from Wisconsin, so maybe Green Bay would be a good choice for him.
Yeah, and, you know, you do wonder if he would take a team-friendly or a cap-friendly deal, you know, to go someplace where he's going to want to go.
Yeah, I think he would probably give you some kind of a discount. Not to say that he wouldn't make a nice buck, though, wherever he goes.
So, you know, I mean, I'm sure wherever he ends up, he's probably, you know, I would say minimum 10 to 12 million, at least for next year. I don't know how the contract would be structured the rest of the way, but, you know, it's definitely going to be a big money deal.
Would he sign for more than for just 1 year, you think, or he would want a multi-year deal, probably 2 to 3 years?
You know, I think depending on when the contract happens, you know, the longer these things play out, the more likely a player is to take a one-year deal. You know, we see that in baseball a lot. The deals get shorter the longer the guy is on the market. And, you know, football is very similar. I have a feeling he's not going to be on the market long. You know, we have to wait for the new NFL year to start, which I still think is 3 or 4 weeks away, I believe, before he can sign anywhere. But, you know, until then, we're going to get a bunch of talk about where he's going and who the front runner is and what the hell is going on with the Texans, because that seems to be a hot topic as well.
Yeah. Do you think he would sign for a 3-year deal for 40, or wouldn't that be enough for him?
You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see 3 at like 36, you know, somewhere in that area. That wouldn't surprise me. You know, being that he's going to be 32, I would be shocked to see him play past 35 at a really high level. So, I would think that whoever's going to sign him is going to be a little leery about running out too many years at a lot of money, depending on how the contract is structured, of course. But I think he's going to be okay, you know, wherever it ends. But 2 or 3 years wouldn't surprise me from a team.
Do you think there are many defensive players who play in that kind of position that go past 33, 34 before they hang it up, as compared to, say, a quarterback?
You know, there are some, you know, Terrell Suggs played a long time, and I believe Elvis Dumervil played past that age. You know, Bruce Smith had a really long career. So, there are some guys who can do it. I think a lot of it, you know, with the NFL, especially when you're that talented, is just kind of how long do you want to put your body through that? You know, because the only thing comparable is being a hockey player. It's not like baseball or basketball, even though people will try to tell you basketball is a rough sport. It's not as rough as football, especially for a lineman who has physical contact on every play that they're in the game. So I think it's just how you feel and how big that bank account is on what might keep you going.
Yeah, I have a feeling he's pretty well financially secure at this stage of his career.
So, I'm sure. You know, being the fact that he was the 11th pick in the draft and, you know, he's played 11 seasons, you know, or 10 seasons, whatever it was there. I'm sure there, you know, he's, you know, unless obviously he's made some bad decisions, he's just fine. So.
Yeah, right now, I have a good point, though. I know that Pittsburgh is the favorite, but certainly Green Bay has to be a major factor in his decision-making also. He'd be going to his home state. He'd be going to a team that's a perennial contender, and I'm sure those two are very important factors when he makes his final decision.
Yeah, you know, and that may be the factor that cancels out a team like the Bears, even if his wife is from here. The fact that they are so far away from winning, you know, like you mentioned, Green Bay is a contender, and they're one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl next year. Pittsburgh, you know, not so much. They look like they might be headed in the wrong direction there. So, you know, we'll see. But again, with his brother being there, that would be more interest. But you may think at this point he wants to win a Super Bowl. So, you know, you can also factor in these teams like, you know, Kansas City, Tampa Bay, You know, basically any playoff team, you know, may be an option there. You know, Buffalo, I don't know how much cap room any of these teams have, but, you know, if you want to, you know, if you want to have that shot, it may be a place to look.
Yeah, I would think you're right there. And I got a feeling, though, he's going to make a decision faster than some people think.
So, yeah, you know, hopefully. I always hate when these things drag out. You know, that's what I hate about the baseball offseason is it takes so damn long. So, you know, it's just everybody sits on their hands and waits and waits and waits. So I hope this gets rolling. And to be fair, I know when the free agency starts in the NFL, it is usually quick. We usually get some big signings right away, and things move along pretty well. So hopefully he'll be that guy.
Well, let's hope that ESPN doesn't devote a special to when he makes a decision.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they learned their lesson on that.
So. I believe so. One can only hope.
You know, but, you know, of course, being on the Texans, you know, they you know, with Watt gone, they're dealing with the Deshaun Watson situation. What I found kind of interesting, and I really wanted to get your take on this since you go back, you know, even farther than I do when it comes to being a sports fan. You know, we had, you know, again, obviously the Deshaun Watson situation. We had Aaron Rodgers come out and kind of throw out some grievances he had with his team, even though a lot of people believe that was him posturing for a new deal. But also this week, we had Russell Wilson of the Seahawks come out and start pissing and moaning about the fact about a lot of the same stuff Watson complained about. You know, he wants some help. He's been the most sacked quarterback for the last, I think, 8-9 years. And now, for some reason, both of these guys want to be involved in personnel decisions. You know, Stu, these guys are football players, so I get that, you know, they may know if a guy has talent or not, but do they really belong deciding who the coach is, like in Watson's case, who the general manager is? And in Wilson's and Rodgers' case, who the team drafts?
That only works in basketball, I'm afraid. I don't see it happening. And I'd be very surprised if management for their respective teams would take his thoughts into that much consideration. Although, hey, if you've been sacked as much as Wilson has over the last few years, I could see where he would be kind of upset about it.
Yeah, you know, but you also have to remember that some of those sacks are Wilson's fault on his own because he runs into some of them. So, you know, and while, you know, and of course they do need help on the offensive line. There's no doubt about that. And they've tried to actually get help. You know, they draft at least one offensive lineman and every year. It just hasn't worked out for them. You know, they just haven't hit on any of those draft picks. You know, and I got to tell you, when these guys come out like this now, they just kind of sound like immature, you know, prima donna type of players.
Yeah,
you know, and I know the whole Wilson thing got started on an interview. If you got a problem with the team, why don't you go to the team and not the media? You know, like Dan Patrick asked Wilson if he was available, and he had made a sarcastic comment of, I don't know, you have to ask the Seahawks. Well, you know you're not available. You're Russell Wilson. You're one of the best quarterbacks in football. So it's just kind of, you know, stupid to me when these guys do this kind of thing. And I don't really understand their thought process unless they're starving for some off-season attention, or they honestly think that they belong in the front office.
You know, these things would never even be bandied about 20 years ago. It would never be a point of contention. But I don't know what this politicking that goes on now with the football players. And by the way, these quarterbacks should be very lucky that they're playing in an era when they're so well protected by the referees.
So, And yeah, it just baffles me. I can sympathize with Deshaun Watson. He's on a bad team. You were the one who signed the long-term deal. You didn't have to sign it. You could have done what Dak Prescott did, went into free agency, and forced the team to either franchise you or let you go as a free agent. But instead, you took the money.
That's true.
So, you know, it was completely your decision. They didn't force you. You know, the same thing with Russell Wilson. You signed the long-term deal. You know, they didn't say, oh, hey, you know, you must sign this. You must stay here. You know, that didn't happen. So to start bitching now is just kind of, you know, ridiculous. I mean, Wilson has almost $60 million left on his contract over the next 3 years. Then he's a free agent. So is he going to cry when these checks show up at his house? Oh, I don't want this money. Yeah, I don't think so. Do you?
No. He'll be crying all the way to the bank, right? And I'm wondering, though, that these complaints that these guys are making, like Wilson, wouldn't that hurt their marketability when they do become a free agent? Wouldn't other teams who might consider signing them when they become a free agent think twice about it because of his posturing?
You know, oddly, you would think, but it doesn't seem to. You know, well, you know, I guess when you have talent, you can be as big an ass as you want. You know, and it's clear that players like Wilson and Watson have talent. You know, I mean, Wilson went to back-to-back Super Bowls. You know, I know everybody likes Watson. Everybody thinks he's got a future, and he is only 25. So, you know, that's kind of how it works. You know, and then the oddest thing with, like, both players is they both negotiated no trade clauses. So now if they won off these teams, it's almost very similar to an NBA situation where they're trying to force their way off, but they only want to go certain places.
Yeah. It's almost a modified renegotiation when you think about it.
Right. You know, because if it's me and I'm the owner or the general manager, it's like, hey, I'll trade you to the Jacksonville Jaguars where you're not going to win diddly squat for years. You know, or I'll send you to Chicago where you ain't winning nothing. So, you know, it's just odd that, you know, these guys cry about it. And I like Brett Favre's quote basically telling them to shut up and play because you have a contract. You know, and while I don't think Wilson will hold out, I am interested to see if Watson decides to sit out. But he hasn't reached the big money portion of his contract yet, so I don't know if he will.
Yeah, I doubt that's going to happen. Now, why would a guy sit out and deprive himself of that money? Does it make sense?
You know, they do it to try to force a trade. You know, but in some cases it works. You know, remember Ezekiel Elliott did it with the Cowboys and got a big money deal. And he's basically been a schlub since getting that big money deal.
Yeah, didn't work out for his new team, did it?
So, yeah, you know, it makes you wonder. And obviously, you know, running back is a little different position. But, you know, like Watson is due a little over – he gets $10.5 million this year, and his signing bonus is $5.4 million. But the contract really jumps next year when he gets $35 million and that same $5.4 million signing bonus. So he's not quite to where the money really explodes on his contract. So I don't know, you know, why you would sit out, because I don't believe you're paid when you do, and then B, why you would – you know, consider walking away from the money. And you know, the funny thing again is they're like, oh yeah, well, you know, the Texans can just trade him. Well, if they trade him, they take almost a $16 million cap hit. So that hinders them from signing anybody else.
That's a big factor. But I kind of have to agree with Farb on this one. I think these guys should just shut up and play ball. We don't want to hear about this. Their complaints and their whining and complaining about something that is, to me, at least the average sports fan, seems so inconsequential.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I'm sorry he's on a bad team, you know, in the case of Deshaun Watson. And, you know, obviously they made a poor decision trading DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson. You know, that was a very questionable deal. But, of course, they were worried about being able to re-sign Hopkins, so they got something for him while they still could, you know, which in some cases makes sense. It just, unfortunately, Hopkins is one of the better – you know, one of the better receivers
right.
in the NFL, you know, but, you know, they still had Will Fuller. It's not their fault that he can't stay healthy and got suspended for using PEDs.
Yeah, don't fault on that one, right?
Right, you know, you can't blame that one on the Texans. As much as I'm sure people would like to, that they got nothing to do with that one. So
when you think about it, this is really poor – public relations decisions on the part of the players, because the average hardworking football fan, sports fan, scrounging to make a buck under uncertain economic times, have to sit and listen to these millionaires complain about their poor fate as and the football team they're playing for.
Yeah, you know, but the weird part with the whole thing, Stu, and I, this just completely baffles me, is the media doesn't play it off like that. Play it off as, oh, you know, these poor athletes, and look what this team is doing to this player. You know, and all I keep thinking is paying him millions upon millions of dollars is bad for the player. Damn, I wish I had that.
Yeah, I'm not sure every sports writer thinks like that. I'm sure there are some who are a little more objective in their points of view.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I haven't found
one. Comes to mind the ex-football player Rick Talender. Didn't he play? I think he played for Northwestern, right? Didn't he play for Northwestern? He's been pretty fair about the situations when it comes to player a disgruntled player looking for a trade or more money or whatever else they're looking for. So he could be objective. I'm not sure every sports writer is like that, though.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I haven't heard one. So when you find one, do me a favor and send me the link to the article.
Yeah.
Because for whatever reason, all I hear is, you know, oh, you know, look at what Houston's doing to Deshaun Watson. And, oh, my God, I can't believe that, you know, they would treat Russell Wilson like this and not give him a voice in the organization. And it's just like, wait, what the hell are we talking about? Why?
Yeah, in the meantime, these players are cashing their huge, gigantic checks, and I guess it's not enough solace for them. I don't understand it. I can't understand their complaints. You know, you want the team to be better. I understand that. But, my goodness, keep it under wraps. Keep it to yourself. Discuss it with the coach. Discuss it with management if they're willing to talk to you about it without coming to the press and making your grievances felt.
Well, you know, and again, you know, the big thing that just kind of baffles me is what makes Deshaun Watson think that he's qualified to pick a head coach or a general manager?
Yeah, he's not a basketball player, right? So he really doesn't have that any kind of say-so in the matter.
So, you know, it kind of baffles me when players do this, you know, but, you know, and to be all on, you know, to be honest, it seemed like he wanted to make sure they hired a minority head coach, and they did that they just didn't seem to hire the one he wanted, because apparently he was pushing Eric Bieniemy. But after watching the Chiefs game plan in the Super Bowl, I'm not so sure the Texans didn't make the right choice by not hiring him.
Yeah, he certainly wasn't impressive with their various patterns they employed during the course of the Super Bowl. So maybe the Texans made the right decision.
You know, yeah. Well, you know, and you wonder if, you know, every team made the right decision, because obviously he didn't get a job. So
no,
you know, it's just, you know, but. You know, again, looking at that, I mean, you had 2 weeks to prepare. You knew you were going to be missing two offensive linemen, but yet you didn't set your game plan up like you did. You were.
No. So I think these players should kind of sit back and rethink their situation. But by the way, as I pointed out earlier, this will work, but only in the NBA. It's when a player, a superstar, can say, I want this coach. And they'll get the coach. This coach will be fired, and he'll be fired. And how many times have we seen that happening there?
Yeah, you know, well, that's the thing. I mean, when you're, you know, the NBA, you know, and obviously there's only, you know, what, 12 or 14 guys on a team now. You know, if you're a superstar, you basically, hey, I want this guy to coach, and they go try to get you that guy.
Yeah. But that's the only sport where that works.
Yeah. So it's definitely, you know, and that has a lot to do with the fact that, you know, it's a smaller group, and, you know, the NBA, when it comes to it, is a players' league before and above any other league.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, and getting back to football, I think that these guys should stop whining and just play ball. Or if they want to whine, keep it under wraps so it's not available to the media so on a regular basis.
So, yeah, I just, you know, kind of, you know, I kind of wish we would start listening to, you know, having to listen to these guys cry. But, you know, unfortunately, that's what we're going to get out of the media. That's what they're going to report.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to hear.
Maybe that sells newspapers. I don't know. I just don't know.
So, yeah, you do wonder, you know, I just don't get it, you know, what the attraction is there. But, you know, it seems like, you know, let's do the negative, especially when it comes to the NFL. You know, it's unbelievable how much the media just would love to take the NFL down, I'm guessing, because they're number one when it comes to sports. So, you know, any negative they can report on the NFL, they're going to report. So.
Yeah, and you'd be surprised. A lot of times these stories just die of its own accord. And next week or the week after, you don't even think about it anymore. It'll be a forgotten item. And the next situation will crop up that they want to talk about.
Yeah, you know, and that, you know, and of course that's how it works. I mean, you know, there are, you know, like the Deshaun Watson story is stuck around. So, you know, just one of those things, and it probably will just because of the fact that, you know, it's Houston just seems to be a complete mess right now.
Right.
But, you know, we'll see. You know, maybe they'll end up trading him. But, you know, right now they've been steadfast on he's going to stay. He's their quarterback. I actually do like the route they're taking with that, you know, because obviously you got a new coach and you want to have a good quarterback. So why would you trade Deshaun Watson for, you know, some of the rumored deals out there? You know, is Tua Tagovailoa ready to be that guy? You know, Sam Darnold's had some injuries. You know, is he that guy? You know, I mean, some of the other landing spots don't even have quarterbacks they can give you in return. So you would have to pick a rookie quarterback to start with. So, yeah, I mean, I don't blame them for wanting to hold on to the guy at all, do you?
Nope, absolutely not. And the Wilson story, is that something that was a kind of a surprise? No one anticipated that he would start making these complaints?
You know, I think so, you know, because I had never heard anything about him or it or there being a problem. And then, once he got on Dan Patrick and he made that quote, it just took off like wildfire. And all of a sudden it was, well, you know, he's upset that he plays for a defensive coach, you know, because they, you know, and Pete Carroll had mentioned before that they need and want to run the football more. So obviously that's going to diminish some of Wilson's stats. I don't know if maybe that had something to do with his irritation or however you want to describe it. But, yeah, to me it came out of the blue.
Yeah, and is this the kind of story that's going to have legs? Is it going to start to linger on over the next few weeks like the Watson situation, or is it just going to die down and be forgotten?
No, these are probably going to run till the draft now because we're going to get all kinds of trade scenarios. You know, like I already heard that Wilson wants to go to Dallas because his wife is from there, even though people seem to forget that the Cowboys have the Dak Prescott situation going on. And there's no way Seattle trades a quarterback like Wilson without getting either a quarterback in return or a top draft pick so they can take a quarterback to replace him. But, you know, Dak Prescott is unsigned, so the Cowboys can't trade him. I believe if they franchise tag him again, they can't immediately deal him. You know, they would have to work out a contract and then trade him. So that would really drag things out there. And, you know, I don't know how else that would work out. Other than that, I haven't heard many other landing spots for Wilson. I know somebody mentioned the San Francisco 49ers, but I doubt the Seahawks are dumb enough to trade him within the division where they'd have to face him twice a year.
No, they would never do that. They would never do that.
So, you know, and again, a lot of this reporting is just flat-out stupidity. And it's guys wanting to get stories out there, or girls, I should say. It could be both. Let's just say reporters, because they want to see if they can get legs and, you know, get those all-important social media hits and, you know, trend on Twitter or be the hottest thing on Facebook or wherever else they're posting these stories at. So, you know, a lot of it is just half-ass reporting.
Yeah, they sometimes get desperate and have to put something out there to generate some kind of interest. And when is the draft coming now? What's the date of the NFL draft?
Oh, good Lord. You know, I just looked it up the other day and I forgot. Let me use Dan's favorite search engine here and I will Bing it and see what I get for the draft date. Where are we? It starts on April 29th, so we'll have a good almost two full
two
months of this
months,
BS.
Right? Two and a half
yeah.
months to worry about it.
So, you know, and then one quick final NFL story before we move on. It was announced today that the twin offensive linemen, Marquise and Mike Pouncey, you know, Marquise, I believe, was playing for the Chargers and Mike was with the Steelers. They have both officially announced their retirement today. I think they ended up playing about 10 or 12 years. And my guess is they will probably both go into the Hall of Fame together because they were both fantastic offensive linemen. So no
drivers
in there.
That's a pretty good career for an NFL player. I mean,
oh yeah. So
yeah, I don't think too many of them last that long. Well, you know, there are exceptions, but 10 to 12 years is a nice career.
So, yeah, and then, you know, jumping over to baseball here, we had some more signings. It's getting to that point where guys are signing on the dotted line. We had Marwin Gonzalez sign out, I believe it was a one-year deal with the Red Sox. Ken Giles got a two-year deal from the Mariners. And the Padres addressed their bullpen situation. They signed Mark Melancon. They haven't announced any specifics of Melancon's deal because he has to pass his physical first. So, you know, San Diego needed some bullpen help after acquiring all those starters. So Melancon can step in and be a big piece there. You know, I know Giles is coming off Tommy John. I believe it was 2019. So we'll see how that works. And, you know, Gonzalez is an interesting signing for the Red Sox because they added Kiki Hernandez earlier this offseason. So now they have two utility guys. So it'll be interesting to see how they shuffle that and rotate that. But what's your takeaway from these signings? You got something you like, something you're more interested in than the other?
No, no. These are mediocre signings at best. I don't think any of those are major signings. And Melancon, though, is he going to be healthy? Is he going to come up and do the job for them?
You know, as far as I know, he's healthy. You know, I know, you know, he was hurt with Atlanta there towards the end of the year, but I don't believe it was anything major. So I believe he'll be ready to go. And what I'm interested in is if he's going to step in and be the closer, because I'm trying to remember who else is on their roster. I'm trying to look it up here, but I mentioned earlier my computer gives me some issues from time to time. So let me see if they list him as their closer. Yeah, right now they still have Drew Pomeranz listed as the Padres' closer, but he's never done it full-time. So you got to figure Melancon is going to get some opportunities to close.
I would think that's the reason they got him. And if he's healthy, he might be able to do the job for them. But, hey, what the heck? Second place is still second place, right?
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, even with all the moves they made, it looks like they're still behind the Dodgers. But they're probably, you know, I mean, if you could guarantee a wild card team, the Padres would be it.
Definitely. And what Boston did, I don't see them making the playoffs with these mediocre signings they've made. I just don't see them even getting close to making the playoffs in 2021.
Yeah, no, you know, unfortunately, I still think they have too many pitching injuries. You know, if you could tell me that Chris Sale and Eduardo Rodriguez were 100% coming into this season, I might give them an outside chance to land a wild card spot, you know, because Tampa Bay has, you know, lost quite a few players, so they may slip back to the pack a little, but they – you know, with the team put together as it is now in Boston, I just see them competing with the Yankees in the ALE.
No. And you're talking about Tampa. I don't know. They're an odd team. They've lost a lot, and yet they come up with these unknown players, and they wind up having a solid season, despite the fact that they've lost some players. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah. You know, they do a great job of developing their own guys, but I just saw earlier today, apparently Tampa Bay has a new starting pitching strategy. If you remember, they were the morons who came up with the opener, even though there is no such thing. The guy who goes out to start the game is the starting pitcher, whether he pitches one inning or nine innings. But apparently Tampa's strategy for this season, Stu, is they want 8 to 10 pitchers, with the exception of Tyler Glasnow, to give them 100 innings as a starter. So somehow they are going to have to find 8 to 10 starting pitchers. Most teams can't find 4 or 5.
No,
but Tampa Bay
no
is going to find 8. And they're going to give them – all of them are going to give them 100 innings.
That does not sound like a likely situation, at least to me.
No, you know, it sounds incredibly stupid to me, and I don't understand why they don't let pitchers pitch and just manage them correctly and keep them healthy. But, you know, everybody's got to reinvent the wheel and be the one who said, oh, yeah, look, I came up with this, and look, you know, it was the greatest thing in the world. Because, you know, when they started doing the opener, every sabermetric idiot in the world jumped on it and said it was the greatest idea to ever happen to baseball. So.
Yeah, pitching is so – the starting pitching is just so different now. It's just still hard for me to wrap my thoughts around the way it is. I don't know if you saw this on MLB a couple of days ago. They showed the I think it was the 1968 World Series game between Detroit and St. Louis. And, well, guess how many innings that Gibson pitched in that game? It was game one of the World Series.
He would have pitched 15 if it would have went that long.
That's right. That's right. He only had to go get 9 innings.
Yeah.
And would that happen anymore today?
No.
Once a year, twice
God
a year,
no.
3 times a year, 4 times a year?
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous.
I think
Trevor Bauer led or tied for the league in Major League Baseball with 2 complete games last year.
Yeah, and the thing is, and we've talked about this before, with all the babying they do with the starting pitching, and all these different things they try to do to keep them healthy, there seems more injuries now with starting pitching than there was when Gibson pitched.
Yeah, that's the oddest thing, isn't it? Is the fact that
really
they seem
is.
Like they're hurt more.
And
so.
I can't put my finger on why this happens.
So, yeah, you know, well, you know, I still blame a lot of it on the fact that kids pitch way too much growing up. You know, and they do things that they shouldn't be doing at young ages now. But you would think by the time they get a kid to the minors, they could prepare him properly. So he could build up his strength to where he could give you, you know, 7-8 innings. You know, maybe they don't go 9, but is it really that big of a thing if you're, you know, you go that far?
You would think so, but I don't know. It seems like every pitcher that comes up now will have a history of some kind of injury throughout his minor league career before he comes to the big leagues. And, of course, then he gets to the big leagues and he has a more serious injury.
Yeah, here you go. I had to look it up. I was actually right. Trevor Bauer tied for the lead in Major League Baseball with 2 complete games. He was tied with Garrett Cole, Aaron Nola, and Adam Wainwright with just 2. You know, and obviously, you know, it was a shortened season. So, you know, they weren't given that many opportunities to go out and finish games. But even in 2019, when they played a full season, it only took 3 complete games to lead the league. And that was done by Shane Bieber and Lucas Giolito. So, they're not racking up any innings.
No, and you'd like, I mean, my goodness, at least let these guys pitch 7 innings. If they're not going to pitch a complete game, let them pitch at least 7 innings. And their starts.
And then they wonder why bullpens are so taxed and you can't get good relievers. Well, you know, you've got them going out there trying to fill 4 and 5 innings every game. No bullpen can handle that.
And the thing is, like you mentioned, they can't handle that, but they might have a great year. A bullpen could have a great year coming in, doing the job. But the following year, they'll fall on their face. The wear and attrition of coming in so frequently for the starting pitching takes its toll. So they may have 1 good season, but the next season, don't look for the same thing happening again.
Yeah, it's just so, you know, so weird the way they handle, you know, pitchers and the situation that goes on. And it's like, really, you know, and I mean, you can just go back and look at the World Series where Tampa Bay, it may have actually cost Tampa Bay a World Series title because they stuck with their their plan, and they removed Blake Snell after, I think it was five innings, when he was rolling. So
yeah, and they'll say it's second guessing, but boy, a purist, a baseball purist, you wonder why that decision was made.
You know, I'm sure the Dodgers are second guessing while they're polishing the World Series trophy.
Yeah.
So congratulations there, Kevin Cash, and all you guys who came up with that system.
Yeah.
So.
And, I look for them to repeat this year, but we'll see what happens.
So, and then, you know, of course, the big rumor I wanted to get with you that we've been dealing with now for about 2 years, apparently talks between the Cubs and the Mets have picked up involving Chris Bryant possibly going to New York. You know, this got started because the Mets missed out on Trevor Bauer and George Springer. So they're looking to add, you know, they do need a third baseman. They're looking to add a big bat. That's where Bryant would come in. I don't know what the Cubs would get back in return. There is some rumors that the Mets would like to move Dellin Betances and Jeurys Familia, but I think they would have to pick up a lot of the contract money for the Cubs to do that. But the Cubs have had some interest in J.D. Davis, so it's possible he may be part of the deal. You know, you're obviously the resident Cub guy here. You've been watching them since, you know, television was invented. What's your take on this rumor that we've got now?
I am not going to count on it happening. I saw the rumor mill cropping up again today after what was apparently dead, the deal with the Mets. Now it's cropping up again, but the old cliche about the boy crying wolf one time too many, it comes to my mind. I've seen it happen. I've seen this rumor going back and forth. It's dead. It's alive. It's dead. It's alive. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely interesting. You know, again, I would love to know what's coming back in return.
Yeah.
But
you know,
no.
that's the first thing I noticed is that the rumor mill is going on again between with the Cubs and the Mets acquiring Chris Bryant. But what the rumor mill doesn't really address is who the Cubs are going to get in return. You mentioned some players. Yeah, maybe those two are involved, but I'm not sure that's quite enough. But maybe we'll be surprised and he will be dealt. And if he is dealt, well, who's going to wind up playing third base? David Bodie?
Yeah, that would be the next step. Depending, like, if they get J.D. Davis in return, he's a third baseman. So my guess is he would, you know, automatically be plugged in and played. But, yeah, other than that, it would be Bodie.
Yeah, who has come up with some big clutch hits, truth be told, but when he doesn't hit in the clutch, so he doesn't hit, then what would he wind up hitting if he played every day for the Cubs at third base? 230, maybe?
No. Yeah, I was thinking more like 250, maybe 260. But, you know, I mean, he's not going to hit 320 and contend for a batting title or anything like that.
No. And is Davis that good a hitter if they plugged him into third base?
Oh, yeah, you could plug him in every day without a problem. I mean, he's not – Chris Bryant, you know, he's not going to hit 300. He's not going to hit 30 home runs. But he's, you know, he's a solid everyday player. You know, and obviously it's clear that the Cubs want to go cheap, so he fits that bill.
Yeah, and, well, I don't think it's going to happen, but as we say in the other business that you were involved in for many years, never say never. Right?
Well, you know, and you think eventually they've got to find a deal for Bryant because they've got to get something. You know, you can't just watch a player of his caliber walk away. You know, so maybe this is the deal and they can they can finally figure something out here.
Right. But does that mean that Contreras and Baez will remain in the roster?
Well, there was that Yankee rumor with Baez, so we'll see if that comes true. You know, that died down rather quickly, and it seemed like unless the Braves jump back in on Contreras, there's not much of a market right now because the Angels signed a catcher. So,
yeah, the Contreras did go to the Angels. What would the Cubs, would they rename them the Los Angeles Cubs?
Yeah, probably.
West Coast Virgin.
Yeah. But all right, well, you know, as I mentioned, we struggled with our Super Bowl picks, and that actually dropped your predictions to 11-9. So we're going to see if you can make up a little ground starting tonight. The Bulls are home. They're hosting the Los Angeles Clippers. So who you got winning? You got the Bulls picking up this game at home?
No. I will pick the Clippers to roll over the Bulls tonight, despite the fact that the Bulls beat the Pelicans a couple of nights ago.
Yeah. So and all right, well, so since we gotta bet your fake money, the Bulls are getting 7.5 points. Who covers? You got the Bulls covering that number, or do the Clippers beat them by more than 7.5?
I say the Bulls will not cover.
Oh, all right. You're gonna give up 7.5 then. Oh,
I'm back to my pessimistic mood again.
There you go. Let's see. Do we have anything here that I can come up with? There we go. Okay, we've got another Columbus Blue Jackets Chicago Blackhawk game. This time it's in Chicago. Since the hockey lines confuse me, I just want you to tell me who's going to win this game, the Blackhawks or the Blue Jackets. And, boy, was it a shootout last night, huh, 6-5.
It was. And the Bulls, the Blackhawks, when was the last time they scored 5 goals in a game and lost?
Yeah. So.
And they blew a couple of 2-goal leads. And I'm going to think that was an aberration. I think the Blackhawks will bounce back and even the 2-game series against Columbus this time. So I'm predicting that they will win the game.
So we will get all this locked in and see if that helps you make up a little ground. Now, of course, the Chicago teams did let you down last time. You picked them. I think they both lost the last time you picked them.
I haven't done too well in my picks lately, so I figure I'm due for a good outing.
You hope, right? You gotta figure something's gonna break here and fall your way. So hopefully it's this weekend.
Right. Now I know there's a pay-per-view over the weekend, and I would make my predictions, except I have no idea who's wrestling and who's competing.
Oh, I didn't even know there was a pay-per-view. Who's having one?
Yeah, I think there's another one, but or maybe I'm wrong. I thought there was another WWE pay-per-view coming up, but.
Oh. I didn't even know. It could be. I'd pay so little attention to what they do.
They have so many of these things that seems like that every other week they have one. And
well, you know, they try to get that money for not having fans in the stands. So
yeah, that's
you
true.
You got to get them.
Well, if they do have one, I predict that the outcome will be settled by outside interference or a ref bump.
Yeah. So yeah, that's always a good bet when it comes to anything that has to do with WWE, because their booking is old and tired. So
yeah, I was going to say, hey, that's like me, but I better rephrase that.
There you go. We'll look at that way. The people mean to take it off. Now you know we're going to come back and do it all at 4:30. The one we're talking about, get over to sportstimereview.com and look for the new blog pop on the first tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're over there, hit that link and follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook. That's what you're doing by there. Go ahead and give them a like, but don't forget to Twitter feed it at Sports Time Radio. You can also come to the answer on Twitter. I am the host time of BUSCTIME. If you want to look me up there. And hey, if you can find this channel, thanks for doing it. But don't forget, you can listen to the podcast anytime you want. If you missed it, on TuneIn.com. All right, have a good evening, everybody. Roll out.